In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely unto them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this sure confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We speak responsibly the words of the introit found in the worship folder. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. The heavens declare the glory of God. Day to day pours out speech. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their measuring line goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight.
Mercy upon us, Christ have mercy upon us, Lord have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth His goodwill toward men. We praise Thee, we bless Thee, we worship Thee. We glorify Thee, we give thanks to Thee for Thy great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sitest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For Thou only art holy, Thou only art the Lord. Now only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, our Most High, in the glory of God the Father.
The Lord be with you.
With thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. The Old Testament lesson for this Sunday is taken from the prophet Isaiah, the 49th chapter. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson for this Sunday is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the first chapter. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace that God has given to you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you are enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Christ Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of our Lord. Praise the Lord, all nations. For great is his steadfast love toward us. Ascribe the Lord. This is between the Old Testament epistle and I missed it, sorry. Ascribe the Lord the glory due his name. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The Gospel for this Sunday is taken from the Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, But for this purpose I came, baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, Behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, What are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you going? He said to them, Come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found his own brother Simon and said to him, We have found the Messiah, which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. This is the gospel of our Lord. Having heard this word of the gospel, we confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, who sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. You may be seated. We will sing the sermon hymn which is found in your worship folder.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you like a precious jewel. Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in.
Sisters in Christ, the text for our meditation comes from the gospel lesson. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. You may recall that was part of the introit. It's most of these things the pastors say come from the Bible in one respect or another. We are coming up now that Christmas is over, New Year's is over, and here we are in January. Whether that's good or bad, it kind of depends. I'm not fond of cold weather, so it's not one of my favorite months. But nevertheless, this is the time of the year where people, maybe not you guys, if you're retired, I guess you get a lot of days off. But anyway, for people get days off for people's birthday. There's holidays for people's birthday. I know I get some of these off, which I never used to. But like Martin Luther King Day, President's Day. Back when I was a kid, we'd have Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday and all these other birthdays that we'd get off. Then one year, I grew up in Illinois. One year, I think it was in high school, all of a sudden say, you're going to get another day off. It's a Kashmir Pulaski Day. I would probably give $1,000 to anybody who could tell me who Kashmir Pulaski is. I think that's pretty safe money there. As a matter of fact, we all kind of looked at each other as, who is this? You know. But as good school kids were like, we get the day off. I don't care who he is. It turns out he was some revolutionary war hero of some sort that we'd never heard of. And if you recognize the last name Pulaski, it's a Polish name. And in Chicago, there's a lot of Polish people that live up there. So apparently some deal was made in the state legislature that needed their votes, and so they got a holiday. So again, as a kid, I didn't care. It's a holiday. I like that. You can wonder about some of these people that we get these holidays for, and it's like, who is this person? And why are they so important that they get a holiday named after them? Now, the same could be said about another person who has not just a holiday named after him, but an entire season that these days runs from about October all the way through December, and that's Christmas, Jesus Christ. You know, why is he so important that he gets this entire season named after him? You know, why is he so important that here in this building anyway, we hear about him week after week. We hear about him, talk about him, and we even just sang a song about him. And I must confess, I don't know who picks the hymns, but they always seem to fit really well with the messages that come up. So thank God for that, and thank God for those who pick the hymns. Because he is our all in all, very much fits the whole idea of why is Jesus so important? Why is he so important that all this fuss is made over him? John the Baptist gives the answer. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the Messiah, the Son of God, the most significant, important person to ever walk the face of the earth. I don't know if you've known this. I love trivia facts. That who would you say, this is an easy one, this is a church answer, who has had the most books written about him? No? Anybody? Jesus, yes. That's why I always said that's the church answer. That's the children's sermon. Who makes the peanut butter stick to the roof of your mouth? Jesus does. You know, Jesus is always the answer to every question in children's sermons, it seems like. Now this would be definite bonus points. Who is the person that has the second most books written after him? Now, the fact that I'm mentioning this means it's probably some significance. Martin Luther is the second person that has the most books written about him. Part of that is the fact that he came about right about the time the printing press was invented. Kind of hard to write books when there's no printing press to distribute them. So, yes, Martin Luther is the second in line to most books written about him. Do most people, though, think, and here I'm drawing a wide crowd here, do most people think that Jesus is important? Quite a few people, I would say, especially in our nation or the world that we live in, don't think Jesus is very important, especially for day-to-day living. Now, back in the day, most of us, I don't think I see anybody under 30 in here, most of us remember people used to say that. They used to say it, even if they didn't really live it, they used to at least say that Jesus was important. But now, not many of the people even know his name, know who he is. There was a survey taken at a shopping mall in the Dallas area. Gosh, this was probably 10 or 12 years ago, even when this happened. And it was amazing to the people that the church did this. The number of people in the mall that didn't even know who Jesus is. They never even heard of him. It was just mind-boggling how the things got that way. How did they get to that point where a chunk of a solid chunk of people in this country, they don't even never even heard of Jesus. No, it's one thing to say, I don't want any part of that. It's just like, I don't even know who he is. You know? So how did it get that way? Before I get to that answer, of course, I've got to throw some teaser in there. We need to consider how deeply important this is. The people don't know who Jesus is and how important he is. You know, we need to, everything that we see that's wrong in the world, and even if you look comparatively about in America, everything that's wrong, everything that's even nutball crazy, and I won't even get into it. The guys, when we talk after church, sometimes we talk about the nutty things that go on, and some of them might be kind of humorous, but really taken as a whole, not really, not at all humorous. You know, all that comes from this. Whether it's like when I walk my streets in the morning, for my parents are standing there with their kids waiting for the school bus. Why do you think they do that? Because they love their kids and they want to see them off to school in the morning? No, because they want to make sure their kids don't get taken. You know. So anyway, all these kind of things, you know, whether it's people having the catalytic converters sawed off of their vehicles, you know, all the crazy things that go on, you know, that make 2023 different than 1973 or 83 or whatever other year, that's all related. You know, people close to us notice what's important in our lives. All right, so you know the fact that people don't know who Jesus is has a big effect. That is really what causes all the problems that we see in the world. Now, people close to us notice what's important in our lives, regardless of what we say. So why is it? I can draw the circle here. Why is it that people don't even know who Jesus is? Because the Christ followers have not shown in their lives that Jesus is important. I noticed this back in college. That was back in the 80s. When I would go back to my home church, you know, and I'd see, wasn't going on so much when I was there in high school and so forth, but I noticed it later, drive-through Sunday school. That is, the parents would drop their kids off, get out, go to Sunday school, and they'd go to the local restaurant and sit there. Now, if I'd have been the pastor, I'd have just showed up at the restaurant and said, "Hey, how's it going?" But anyway, you know, it's a sad situation because everything that people do, everything that happens is a teachable moment. It teaches somebody whether they say more things are caught than taught. You know, so what did those kids learn from being dropped off at Sunday school and mom and dad go to the restaurant? They learned that God and His Word are important for kids, but not adults. And so what happens when they become adults? You know, that's exactly that. And with generation after generation of that, you get people in this country who have never even heard of Jesus Christ. So what we live in our lives, how we live, what we show is important in our lives makes a difference. You know, it makes a big difference on how people see that in our lives. Another example, this is very personal and close to home to me, and I can talk about this because you'll never meet this person, and that's my sister. I dearly love my sister, but I've noticed that this, and her two sons, my nephews, I'm their godfather. You know, I was there at their baptism, and I continue to pray for them and do what I can, but neither one of them go to church at all. They're college age and over, and I even had a somewhat awkward situation a year ago because I officiated at the wedding of my older nephew. And I say that, officiated, because I wasn't really there as a pastor. I was basically there as an uncle. As a matter of fact, his wife now didn't even want God mentioned in the ceremony because religion was very private for her. And I had to submit whatever I was going to say. Being who I am, I snuck God in there anyway because it wasn't going to happen that I was just going to stand there. But that was sad. It was a very, instead of for me, what it could have been a joyous occasion to be with that, because it just brought the fact of that my nephew, he's not walking with God right now, and I pray for them a lot. And what happens is, and I'm just using this as an example, I'm not picking on my dear sister, is kids and people see what's important in a person's life. They were taken to church every Sunday. My sister and her husband, my brother-in-law, he was not brought up in the church, so for what that does or doesn't do. Being taken to church and even Sunday school, but what do the people see the rest of the week? You know, is God truly important, or is this just something that we do? My wife, who mentioned this to me, and I guess I noticed this and just not really thought about it, is we go up there for Christmas every year, whatever, and she's like, and when we came back, she says, you know, in your sister's house, there's nothing in her all of her Christmas that says anything about Jesus. It's, you know, my sister's very fashionable, and everything like that. She's got some silly things like, you know, the jolliest elves this side of the nut house and stuff like that. But that it's all nice and everything. And she even, I think, yeah, asked my sister about that. You know, where's your nativity set? Oh, well, there's no, you know, then, you know, not that you have to have a nativity set up if you're a Christian or anything like that, but nothing. I mean, yeah, there's something that said joy and peace, but if there's no Jesus, where is the joy and peace in Christmas? You know, for a lot of people, there aren't any, you know. But Christmas is a crazy time of year, busy. Anyway, I'm just saying that what we do in our life shows what's important to us and communicates to other people, even if that's not a message that we would really want. I'm sure that's not a message that my sister would have wanted communicated to her sons, but nevertheless, that is the message that was communicated. So how important God is in our life. You know, John the Baptist talked about, you know, how important Jesus is. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world and makes a difference. So why should Jesus be important to us today? Why should a man who lived 2,000 years ago make any difference to me today? Today, tomorrow, the next day? You know, because, as we know, I'm basically telling you stuff you already know, but it's important. He is more than just a man. He is both man and God, born of a virgin, taken on human form to live among us. You know, if people taught, you know, I don't even know if people talk about God that much anymore, but when they did, like, yeah, you know, man, you know, if God came down, I'd tell him this or that or whatever. You know, if God would be here, you know, but God did come down and live among us. That shows how important we are to God and how important Jesus is if God himself, the creator of the universe, comes down and lives among us, that's kind of a big deal that would happen. And so, you know, this is the person who made us. This is the person who gave life to us and sustains us. You know, if there's anybody important in this world, it's God to us. You know, our life is in his hands, whether we realize it or not. You know, it's not just a Sunday morning thing. It's a 7-day a week, 24-hour day type of thing. You know, being the age I am, I'm 57, I tend to hang around older people. And am an older person, but that the talk is more of, you know, all these health problems and so forth. And it becomes, yeah, when you're 20 years old, you think you're bulletproof or whatever. But when you get older, you start to realize, you know, all these things start breaking down. And how many people I know that have had knee replacement surgery, not my age, of course, but a little bit older than me. But that just means, you know, it's in the future, all these kind of health issues. And it's important that then to realize, you know, whose hands are you in? And then, of course, they have to tell stories about, well, this person happened to this, you know, all these medical horror stories that do happen in real life. And if you go in there, then the doctors can be nutballs and stuff like that. And it's like, so whose hands is your life in? You know, it's in God's hands. So that's why God is so important to us. You know, just as a parent is important to his child, you know, so also God is important to us. And who takes care of us? You know, jobs are coming and going, and who knows what's going to happen next with the economy. And of course, the people who pull the levers on the economy are kind of screwballs themselves sometimes. You know, so who do we trust to provide for us? You know, not the Social Security Administration or the U.S. government or anybody else, but we trust God, you know, as the one who provides. So that's why God is important. And so, you know, who do we trust? You know, that's the old saying, in God we trust, everybody else pays cash, you know, type of thing. Because, and the thing is, I mean, you know, God has shown, and that's the whole idea of Jesus, the Lamb of God, by giving his own life, that he is someone that can be trusted. You know, thank God that we have godly people in our lives, people who are trustworthy, at least from a human perspective. But those people are not many. You know, we don't have that many people in our lives that we trust completely. And in truth, you know, even the most trustworthy person, you know, we can't put our faith totally in them, because what happens when they're gone? You know, their life is not their own. Their life is in somebody else's hands. And so, you know, I trust my mother, you know, implicitly, but at 82 years old, I don't trust my mother to look after her own health. you know, type of thing. So even the most trustworthy person can't be trusted in all things at all points in their life. God is the only one that we can totally and completely trust. These and many, many other reasons, it's every Sunday sermon, are why God is important in our day-to-day lives. And so it's important, I mean, it's great that people come here on Sunday morning. That shows something, that, you know, to be fed by God's Word, but it's also important how we show God's importance to us day in and day out. That's what worship is. The word means literally worth-ship. What God is worth to us, that is our worship. You know, and so that's not just a 1 hour on Sunday morning thing. That's day in and day out. Now, what I said here, we could feel guilty, and I guess that's why we have confession, because we confessed. I have to confess to God every day that He's not important enough to me. God is not as important to me as I am to Him, and I'm sure all of us, we're all human, we all have our struggles, we're all, you know, we are not saved by how much value we place on God. We are saved by how much value God places on us, by faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, you know, that's really what saves us. And so it's a good thing that our salvation is not based on how important God is to us, but rather how important we are to Him. And so God has showed us how important we are to Him and why we can trust Him by Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us. That's what it means that Jesus came to be the Lamb of God. You know, it doesn't mean some little cute little cuddly pet or something like that, a little lamb, but it means a sacrifice. That's what it's all about. He came to be the perfect sacrifice, giving His life for us, ours. That's why He's important. That's why He's called the Savior of the world. And so that's why we dedicate an entire season to Him each and every year. And He showed how important we are to Him by giving His life for us so that we would share in His life, His resurrection. John the Baptist said that Jesus was important because He takes away our sins. Again, that's a big church word that we use a lot, and it's easy to kind of, okay, yeah, that's great. Jesus takes away my sins. But sin means death. That's what it is. It means a separation from God. And so all people, no matter who they are, even the worst person to walk the earth, in some deep level recognizes that there's something wrong with them. And everything that we see wrong in this world, and there's a lot of it, comes from that. Comes from me, comes from you, comes from all of us since Adam and Eve. And to think that somebody takes that upon themselves, a sinless person like Jesus takes that upon himself and takes that away. Yes, we still have sins. Yes, we still sin in this world. But we know the time will come where that will be taken away from us totally and completely once we die and are raised in Jesus Christ. And so that's pretty darn important too. And that's why he pointed to his disciples and said, that's the guy. You know, they had been following John around for however long, but it's time for them to move on to the real guy, to Jesus Christ. Three or four of Jesus' disciples had been disciples of John before that, but because that was his whole purpose. John's whole purpose was to point to Christ, to tell people about this is who he is, this is what he's all about. That's why he came, that's why he was sent. The point of this text is, because John thought that Jesus was important, he pointed him out to others so that they too could know him and the life that he brings. That's what he was all about. I believe that's true for each and every one of us as well, because somebody in our life thought Jesus was important to them and you were important to them, that they directed you to Jesus. Very few people, and I don't know if anybody in this room would be in this category, very few people just kind of decide on their own, yeah, I think I ought to check this Jesus guy out and figure out. Usually somebody or something leads us. For most of us, we're probably our parents did that, and hopefully taught us about Jesus and their day-to-day life as well. There's nothing more important, nothing more fundamental, nothing more significant for our lives than Jesus Christ. Apart from him, there is no life, no true joy, no peace, no forgiveness. That's important to remember on a day-to-day basis, on a Monday and a Tuesday and so forth. You know, that's where that all comes from. It's easy for me to seek joy and fulfillment in a lot of things. I have hobbies and spend probably too much time on them. You could ask my wife about that, or even my boys. And that, again, we show what's important in our life by the amount of time we spend on things. As we grow to realize and appreciate how important Jesus is in our lives, even if we haven't always noticed it, again, he sticks with us, even if we don't stick with him, the more important it becomes for us to point him out to others. Yes, I don't know how if in this church, churches I've been in, you know, have evangelism, and they, you know, sometimes there's an evangelism Sunday, and they'll have to try to do things for people, and that's kind of one of the things where people want to crawl under the pew type of situation. Oh, evangelism, I am definitely never in my life been a fan of ding-dongs for Jesus. I don't think anybody even does that anymore, but I remember in the seminary I had to do that. I had to go and ring people's doorbells, and that's just not me. If I had to make my living as a salesman, I would be very skinny. I would have a heart. That's just not where I am. But so that's different. People have different callings. But all of us can show that God is important in our lives, you know, by the way we do things. And so as I eat with some guys at work. I've probably mentioned this 100 times, you know, and I ate with them twice this week. And it's like, yeah, I don't just sit there and talk to them about Jesus while we're eating, but I just pray that as I'm with them over and over again, that somehow, some way, I can show them that, you know, God is important, that I'll have the opportunity to witness to them without, I don't pin them in a corner or anything and say, do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior and things like that. And I'm not saying that that's wrong necessarily. It depends on how you do it. But you know, it's part of praying. Paul would pray for an open door as he was, you know, he was going out, you know, that God would open a door. And so I pray for that, you know, in the different, I pray for that with my nephews. You know, I'm way down here, they're way up there, they're off. They're almost adults. They are or almost adults. And the number of opportunities. You know, my younger nephew, I spent quite a bit of time. We were just talking about stuff at Christmas time, just him and me. And, you know, pray for opportunities like that for me to show him, you know, that God is important in his life. He was raised in the church. He was confirmed and all that. And just help him, you know. And so I pray that for all that, for my sons, you know, that I kind of watch and see what they see in my life. What do they see? I may say here and at home, you know, that Jesus is important, but how do I spend my time? What do I show them is important in my life? And also that I can help them to understand and know that Christ is important. So if people are important to us, then it's important for us to show that God is important in our lives as well. So I don't know how important or who Count Kazimierz Pulaski is, and that certainly that person has never made any kind of difference in my life, whether I realized it or not. But I would hope that we would understand and appreciate who Jesus Christ is and the difference that he makes in our lives. Now, if we don't realize and show and appreciate his importance, we miss out a lot. It doesn't mean we aren't Christians or not, but we miss out a lot on what he can do in our lives. A lot of the joy and the peace that he can bring, the molding and shaping that he can do in our lives, you know. It can be kind of sad. I mean, I can think of the lost opportunities in my life, you know, and I certainly, in times, I've missed a chance to show people how important God is in my life. But it's nice for me to know, though, I am still important in God's eyes, nevertheless. Even though I blew some opportunities here or there, and probably will still blow some before my time here is done, I know that I will always be incredibly important in His eyes, and I see that in the cross of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, I pray that we would understand day by day and show day by day how important God is in our lives as we think about and experience how important we are to Him day by day. And so I pray that Jesus would be important to you and that you would be moved to point other people to Him as well. Amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, who considers us very important. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. That the Lord, our Rock and Redeemer, would sanctify the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart, that our prayers might reflect His gracious promises, let us pray to the Lord. For faithfulness, that the Lord who formed His Son in Mary's womb be a light for the nations, would enlighten and strengthen us by His word and sacraments, that we might reflect the light of Christ to those around us, let us pray to the Lord. That the Lord, who created the heavens and establishes day and night, would bless all teachers and students of the arts and sciences to see His creativity and to glorify Him, let us pray to the Lord. For our households, that the Lord who watched over the tribes of Jacob would provide both daily bread and redemption in abundant measure to His people, let us pray to the Lord. For those in authority, that our holy God would fortify them with courage and wisdom to govern justly and to cultivate in them penitent hearts so that they would prostrate themselves before their Redeemer with joy on the last day, let us pray to the Lord. For healing and deliverance, that the Lamb of God who takes away our sins and infirmities would be merciful to those who are in need of His care, especially we lift up in His care. No problem. All those whom we name in our hearts at this time. And that He would grant them rescue and confidence in His grace. Let us pray to the Lord. For a worthy reception of the Lord's body and blood, that all who partake of the sacrament this day might receive the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world in penitence and faith, let us pray to the Lord. Grant that we who have celebrated the incarnation of our Lord may die to sin and rise to new life in Him, that we would treasure up and ponder in our hearts the Christ announced by Your forerunner through the same Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time, you may be seated. We'll sing our communion hymn. The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is meet, right, and most salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, for what has been hidden from before the foundation of the world you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of heaven, and earth are full of glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Welcome to the table of our Lord. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Now this true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the one true faith to life everlasting. Depart in his peace and go forth with his joy. Take and eat the true body of Christ, given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink the true blood of Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. This true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith to life everlasting. Depart in his peace and go forth with his joy. Welcome to the table of our Lord. Take and eat. This is Christ's true body, given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink the true blood of Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Now this true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith to life everlasting. Depart in his peace and go forth with his joy. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
that